Good morning, man. I hope you guys had a good Christmas. And as we get ready for New Year's, man, I'm so thankful that we get to spend one final Sunday in 2025 all together. And so I'm so excited for today. I hope it's been great as you guys have traveled and seen all different types of your family, maybe even the crazy side of your family. And I'll tell you, if there's anything I know from as time's gone on, if folks are like, you know what's funny? I don't really have a crazy side of the family. Sometimes you actually might be the crazy part of the family. But all in all, you get to spend great time with those you love. And so that's a blessing. As we start this morning, we're going to be in Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 17. And as we turn or you turn on to Acts chapter 17, again, just to reiterate what Will said, my name is Landon. I've been a part of Calvary for 4 years, starting in, I believe it's March. And so before I spent time what I do now, I was a kids pastor here and loved that role, was planning on that until I told Will when he first came in, you know, I want to be here and not, I have no plans of going to another church. I have no plans of doing that because we love Calvary so much. And then he got here and I got this opportunity that truly was a blessing and a dream of mine for a long time. And so I said, Will, I have got some really bad news right after he started. But he was so gracious with that. But we did not want to go anywhere else. We love being a part of Calvary. And I'll tell you, it's pretty good for this Sunday because we have, you know, I'm teaching and it's one service Sunday. So this is kind of like Calvary to go. We're going to be in and out. But as we look through Acts chapter 20, I hope we are going to be encouraged of what Paul has for all of us to learn. You know, as the new year kind of turns, we often hear different New Year's resolutions. And there's a lot of different people that go to a lot of different ways, right? There's the fitness route to say, hey, I want to drop a few pounds this year. Maybe there's a financial goal. Maybe there's the goal of buying a house. Like, there's so many different goals you can go to. And with my generation, this kind of age around the late 20s to 30s, their big thing right now is kind of like the getting up at 4 a.m. kind of crowd. But not necessarily to get up at 4 a.m. to be like, you know, I got to go to work at that time. It's like, I'm getting up at 4 a.m. because I'm going to see if I can just hyper-fixate on this day. This is what I'm going to do in the next year. Something that Jake Maddox, who's a member of our small group, he calls it, instead of a mindset, it's like a grind set. I'm going to got to grind all the time. And I got to say, I actually tried that this summer. This summer, starting on June the 2nd, I started getting up at 3:45 a.m. every morning. Never missed a day, all the way from June 2nd to August 27th. It was really, really something. Now, the reason I did that was because we had a baby. And you can't hit snooze on that one. There's no way to avoid it. But we all have different resolutions, things we want to be able to accomplish going into the new year. And none of these things in and of themselves are bad. But for some folks, maybe it's starting a new project and kind of working on things. Some people say that most folks will kind of fail in their resolutions within about 3 weeks. But hey, I'm rooting for you. I'd love to hear what those things are. I think it's exciting to root for somebody else for those things. But as we think about it as a church, what do we want to accomplish going into the next year? Because we are all a part of the local church here at Calvary. Right down the road, First Baptist Tuscaloosa, they're a part of the local church. Capstone, these are churches that we work together in sharing the message of Jesus as we go forth. Even though we're in different buildings, separate people, we are all together as how the Lord looks. But today we're going to be talking about farewells. We're saying our final farewell to 2025 this morning, final Sunday in 2025. And farewells in movies are often a little bit different than they are in real life. But today we're going to see a real farewell that Paul has with the church leaders in Ephesus. This is the final time he's ever going to see them. And he tells them that up front. But you know, movies kind of have this way of being very dramatic, and you know, I remember the movie. I think it was in the early '80s with Stand By Me. If you guys remember that, the four friends, they go out on this journey, and at the very end of it, they kind of say their goodbyes and do their cool handshakes, and it's emotional, and the narrator's talking. And in real life, goodbyes, from what I've seen, are not always that intense and cinematic. But what we're gonna see today really happened. And really is cinematic. So as we read over it, I'd love for you to picture this happening. As Paul is going down to the docks, he's about to sail away, but before he does, he's going to address the church leaders at Ephesus one final time. And so we're going to start by reading in verse 17 there in Acts chapter 20. And it says this, "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and summoned the elders of the church. And when they came to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, enduring the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. And you know that I did not hesitate to proclaim anything to you that was profitable to teach you publicly from house to house. I have testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus. And verse 22 says, "And now I'm on my way to Jerusalem, compelled by the Spirit, not knowing what I will encounter there, except that in every town the Holy Spirit warns me that chains and afflictions are waiting for me. But I consider my life of no value to myself. My purpose is to finish the course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of God's grace." So if you pay attention there to the end, Paul compares his life to finishing the course. Other translations say running the race. So I know Pastor Will's happy about that. We included the word race in there. If you guys don't know, Pastor Will's always running. At some point, I'm convinced someone's chasing him. He's always running all the time if you look outside. But he compares his life to this lifelong race. And as Paul mentions, he knows he's coming to the end of this race very soon. And for you and I, there is a starting line for us that at some point when you follow Jesus, it's not when you're born, but it's when you're born again. And this race that we're running is not against other people. It's not a competition. In fact, the only real person that can trip us up in our race is ourselves. And we can do that by getting in our own way as we run this race through life, by getting our mind off of what the main task is and instead focusing on other things that can occupy our time, occupy our money, occupy our focus, and not putting all of our focus on what the Lord has to say. But God calls us to run this race and finish it well. And so as we end 2025, when I mention the phrase finish it well, it's not just, hey, we got like five more days left or four more days, let's finish that well. That's a part of it. But right now, until our final breath, how do we finish this race well? God willing, that's a long time from now. But until then, how can we run our lives as efficiently as possible for the Lord? I think it's a good reminder that it doesn't matter what kind of start you had, it only matters that you finish well. It doesn't matter what kind of start you had, it only matters that you finish well. If you think about it, be honest, there's probably some things in this year that you wish you could have back. There's some decisions you made that you wish you did not make. There's some things you said that you really wish you did not say. There's things that we wish that we could take back that are now gone. But now that we're at this point, how can we continue to go forward? In verse 24, Paul said, "I consider my life of no value to myself. My purpose is to finish the course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of God's grace." A little bit later on, Paul wrote this letter to Timothy. This is really coming towards the end of Paul's life, and he wrote this in 2 Timothy 4, 6-8. He said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing." So Paul starts to kind of put all of his trials into perspective, saying that he considers his life of no value because these trials have made him stronger. This is less than 10 years before his death. And as we go and kind of think about 2026 and we think about our goals and think about what might be, I hope you do look at it with some type of optimism. That's something that kind of gets you excited. Go, man, what will this next year hold? Like maybe some really great things will come your way. Like if you're holding out and praying for a particular job, man, maybe that job will come this year. And maybe you're praying that God would send you a person that you can begin a relationship with in a godly pursuit of who he is. Maybe that's something that could be there. All of those things to look forward to in 2026 are good things. But if I could just tell you, if you are a believer, if you are a Christian in this room this morning, as we look forward towards the future, the biggest thing that will ever happen in your life has already happened. There's always this anticipation, man, maybe something big is going to happen to me next. I wonder what it will be. And maybe those things will happen. But can I tell you, even if you get the thing that you desire the most, you will at some point feel empty because it's not what fulfills you ultimately. If you are a believer, the good news that you can have going into this next year is the biggest, the greatest thing that has ever happened to you has already happened. And we can live in that so that we're not always just seeking after something and chasing after something that will never truly fulfill us. The gospel is what can fulfill us. The good news of Jesus is what can fulfill us as we go forward. Now let's look back at Acts chapter 20. So this is as Paul continues to talk to the church leaders at Ephesus. So this is the church at Ephesus, you know, the book of Ephesians, this is that same church. So continue to picture the scene. So he's at the docks and the Ephesus leaders are around him before he sets sail. And in verse 25, it starts back here. Paul continues to talk. He says, "And now I know that none of you among whom I went with about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you on this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, because I did not avoid declaring to you the whole plan of God. So be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock which the Holy Spirit has anointed you as overseers to shepherd the church, which he purchased with his own blood." Verse 29 says, "I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And men will rise up even from amongst your own number and distort the truth to lure the disciples into following them. And therefore, be on alert, remembering that night and day for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you with tears." So lots to look at here, but keep in mind, this Paul is saying this with the men within Ephesus are going to rise up against one another and start to distort the truth. And this actually happens. We actually get a picture of what this looks like kind of in the future. 30 some odd years later, Jesus writes in Revelation 2 to this exact church and mentions some of the things they did well and the very important thing they did not do well. So we're going to get to that in just a moment. But before we do, look back at verses 26 and 27. Paul was dedicated to making sure people around him knew the truth. So think about your own life for just a moment. Like Paul is able to say, for this group of people, I can really kind of wash my hands and say, hey, I'm innocent. I have given you the truth of who Jesus is, and I can kind of wash my hands of that. And I got to say, to really think about that, think of someone in your own life. Are there groups of people in your life that you can honestly say, you know, we might have had disagreements along the way, but in the end, maybe it's your own children, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a coworker. Is there anyone in your life that you can say, I gave them the truth about who Jesus is? I gave them the good news of who Jesus is. And if not, this is such a good reminder that this is something we should strive towards every day, that the people we interact with are not just small characters in our lives, but they're people that God cares about, that he created uniquely and wonderfully. And all of them deserve to know the good news that Christ loves them above all else. Verse 32, we continue to read, and this is Paul. He said, "And now I commit to God, you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing, and you yourselves know that I worked with my own hands to support myself and those who were with me. And in every way I've shown you that it is necessary to help the weak by laboring like this and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, because he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." So Paul is basically saying like, hey, before we finish, before we end this relationship, we're good. I've done all I can. I can say that it's off of my conscience. I have given you every bit of truth I can. And they can look back at him and respond and saying, yeah, that's true. You never coveted any of our things. You never lied to us. You brought us the truth along the way. And I'll just tell you, like, as I think about my life and you think about your life, isn't that the type of person we want to be going forward? Like Paul, don't get it twisted. Paul is still a person. He's still sinful. He's not above you or myself. But he gives us a great example of what it looks like to be able to look the people that you care about most in the eye and tell them, I told you the truth of who the Lord is. That's a wonderful thing to have off of you. Now, I mentioned Acts chapter 20 and Revelation 2. So they're separated by about 30 or 40 years. And what we just read, we're going to finish there in Acts chapter 20 in a second. But Acts chapter 20 records Paul's kind of farewell address to these leaders. This is around 57, 58 AD. Well, Revelation 2 contains a letter from the Lord, from Jesus, about this same church in Ephesus that's written by the Apostle John around 90, 96 AD. So this significant gap in time shows us that the comments about the state of the church were decades after Paul's warnings. And Paul warned the Ephesian leaders about future threats that were both internal and external. And then in Revelation 2, Jesus commended the same church for their endurance and their opposition to false leaders, but he also gave them a very strict and very stern warning because they had, quote, forgotten their first love. Let's check that out. Revelation 2, verses 2 through 5. It says, "I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, that you cannot tolerate evil people, and you have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. And I know that you have persevered and endured hardships for the sake of my name, and you have not grown weary. And listen to verse 4, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember then how far you have fallen and repent and do the works that you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. So Jesus sends a letter to this church at Ephesus, the same church, the same 30 years after the fact. Paul is there on this dock with those leaders, right? So this is 30 years after the fact. A lot of time has gone on. And Jesus tells the church, they've actually done a very good job. They've opposed false teaching. They've done a good job of making sure that has stayed true. But there's one thing that they have forgotten, and it's the thing that's above all else. You know, their zeal to fight against false teaching is a very good thing, but they left their love for Jesus and their love for one another behind. And I think that's a good reminder for all of us that we can kind of white knuckle some things and try really, really hard to fight against opposition. But the most important thing is our relationship with the Lord. In fact, when you think about this first love that the church at Ephesus lost, God's word tells us the most important commandment in Deuteronomy 6:5. This is known as the Shema. It says this: love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. This is something that Jesus references back when the Pharisees are asking, hey, what is it that is the most important commandment? And Jesus references the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:5. What's interesting about this is that he says the most important thing you can do is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. The very next line, what does it say? It says, repeat it to your children. And now you might say, okay, well, if I don't have children of my own, does that kind of escape me? Even the word children, you can take that as your own children or take that as the next generation. But as we go into the next year, the most important thing we can do, and you might have goals that you can accomplish, and I hope you do. We will all be so happy for you to do so. But if we've lost our first love, to love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, it's not worth anything. And after we have done that, after we're loving the Lord with all of our heart, our soul, mind, body, and strength, the very next thing it says is to teach it to the next generation. That as we grow and as we enter our final days at some point, that we hand this truth off to the next generation so that they can do the exact same thing. And a part of that is getting in your Bible more. Maybe for 2026, one of the things you want to do is read through the Bible, getting in a Bible reading plan. There are people in this church that would love to show you maybe something that's worked for them, tell you something that has not worked for them. But our relationship with the church is not just, you know, we come in and hang out for an hour and then we go away. Like, God has given you this blessing of wonderful people all throughout the church that are of different cultures and different generations. And so we want to take advantage of that. Ask them their life experiences. Hey, but how did you get into reading the Bible? What's something that helped you out a lot? And you can work on that in 2026. I know everyone here has a different love language. You guys remember the Gary Chapman book? Everybody kind of has their own way. Well, mine is words of affirmation. It's always been a big thing for me. And from the time that my wife Jordan and I started dating until the day that we got married was over the course of 124 weeks. And over the course of 124 weeks, she wrote me 124 letters. She knew that the words of affirmation were something that was a big deal to me. So every week, every Sunday, she would drop off a letter, put it on my desk to read throughout the week. And so as we kind of started this relationship with one another, I got to learn more and more about who she was. I learned about her affections towards me. And I started to fall in love with her even more because I would sometimes go back and read those letters, and still do, in times where I was feeling down and in times where I was feeling discouraged, that she would be there to lift me up and encourage me. And the reason I share that with you is because we have God's word in front of us. And if we do not read it and look at it, we cannot know what he wants to say to you, the encouragement he wants to give you, the challenge he wants to give you. So let that be something that you look to as you want. If you say, man, in 2026, I want to grow my relationship with the Lord, this is a wonderful way to do it, is to get in his word and to see the amazing things he has written so that we can learn to love the Lord with everything that we have. It's important to share that with the next generation. It reminds me of the story of Moses. So Moses led the Israelites out of slavery. He leads them to the edge of the promised land. He dies, and then the leadership gets passed over to Joshua. And the Bible says that Joshua was a wonderful leader. He led them towards the Lord all of his days. And then we get kind of this troubling news after Joshua has died. Remember, I mean, the Bible is a book of poetry, but it's also a book of history. It's a book of encouragement. So many amazing things. So we were able to go back and track from one leader to the other. And so it says this in Judges chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. It says, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, the north of Mount Gash. And listen to verse 10. That whole generation also was gathered to their ancestors. And after them, another generation rose up who did not know the Lord or the works he had done for Israel. And men and women, if we can look at going into next year and going into passing things to the next generation, we do not want, after we are gone, after one generation, after we're gone, we don't want this amazing truth of God's word to be forgotten. It's lasted so much so, and the story of God's word and the good news of how much Christ loves the entire world, that he would die for all of us, for our sins, that has been passed so much so that you and I this morning are sitting on an entirely different continent from where that took place, what we're reading today. The gospel is transformative, and it goes everywhere, and it will never be stopped. And here's the finale, the last kind of picturesque scene of Acts chapter 20. So just imagine for a second, Paul's on the docks with these leaders from Ephesus. He had previously spent 2 years in ministry with them, a lot of amazing times. And we start here in verse 36. After this, is after Paul said all this, he knelt down and he prayed with all of them. And there were many tears shed by everyone. Then they embraced Paul and kissed him, grieving most of all over his statement that they would never see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. You know, I would imagine out of all the time they spent in ministry together, they could have sat on those docks and talked about all the good times and talked about all the bad times. Can you believe? Remember that riot that we were in? You remember how the Lord led us through that? Remember whenever he got us out of jail? Like, they had so many different stories to sit and talk about. They could have stayed there forever. But Paul knew that there was more work to do. And he knew that there was more stuff to do. So he got on that boat and he sailed away. And those people never saw him again this side of heaven. And you think about it, like they could have sat there and reminisced, but they kind of broke their huddle and went on. It's like if you watch a football game, if they just stayed in the huddle the entire time and never broke the huddle, they'd be like, dude, what are y'all talking about? We got to go. We got to get going. We have things to do. If teams only practiced and never went out to play the game, like what was the reason they practiced for? And in the same way, when we meet here on Sundays, on Wednesdays, that is not that's not the peak of what we can do as believers. We enter here together to talk with one another, to be encouraged, to look in God's word, and then we break the huddle and leave this building so that we can tell a world on the outside that there is good news that they can have, that there's a Savior who cares about them so much that he died on a cross for their sins, for the sins of the entire world. And unfortunately, I know you guys see it as well, there's so many that are convinced, like, man, I just know if next year I really get into shape, if next year I get that job, if next year I marry this person, if next year I meet that person, if next year I meet this goal, everything will be great. And if I had to guess, for those who have some more years on me, they could tell you that that's not true. We will never be fulfilled by doing just some of those goals. They're great to have, they're great to aim for, and you can celebrate when you do them, but if we do not love the Lord with everything we have and teach it to the next generation, we will never be fulfilled. There will always be a gap in between. So here at Calvary, we huddle on Sundays. We huddle all together, and if you don't belong to a huddle, if you're visiting, we would love to have you here, and if this isn't the place for you, man, we would love to point you in a direction of a place that is good for you. If you don't belong to a small group, but you would love to, we would love to point you to one so that you can see what it is like to be encouraged with other men and women of God. This is some of the really, really good stuff in life that God gives us the blessing of being in a church, being with people that are different than us, that have different life experiences than us and have more wisdom than we do, that can help guide us. Those are the things you find more and more that fulfill you, not just goals that you check off later on. So no matter what happens to you in 2026, no matter what goal you're able to hit, if you are a believer in Christ, if you are a Christian, the biggest thing that will ever happen to you has already happened, and that's a wonderful thing. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for today, and God, I thank you so much for a wonderful year. Lord, we know there are people that did not, that we love, that we care for, that did not get to see this upcoming year. And so, Father, we thank you for the opportunity, for the blessing that we have, just to be able to live and enjoy the blessings that you've given us. And Father, I pray that as we break this huddle today and as we go throughout a brand new year, I pray that you would give us the wisdom, and I pray that you would give us the encouragement to look in your word, to be guided every single day as we make decisions to follow after you. And Father, allow us in times where we get discouraged, in times where we are anxious, to look to you and not just to goals to check off. Because the greatest thing that's ever happened to us if we are followers of you has already happened. And Father, we thank you for that. Thank you so much for loving us and for caring for us. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen.